entertainer, and entrepreneur answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Larry Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Maybe it's because I've been off for 2 days, but I can't hold back any longer. Except to get this out of the way. This is Lair Adams, and you are tuned in to the American Adversaries Drive Time on News Talk 660 WORL. What do you call your leader when he totally and knowingly lies to you, and then has the audacity to imply it's a good thing he totally lied, because you are a stupid number, nothing more, and only he should be in control of your life. What title do you give such a low life? Czar? Premier? King? Potentate? Maybe Führer? Come to mind? I can't do anything but be harsh in this affair, because this is all about the freedom that is being sucked out of you and I, like a parasite in your gut. I don't know if our show star is as riled up as me, so let's ask him, Christopher Hart.
I was looking around. Who are you talking about? Okay. Welcome back, Lair Adams, and welcome, folks. thank you for listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time on this, well, sort of a little cloudy afternoon here in Central Florida. But, hey, it's fall. It's, you know, this is the kind of weather we
can
experience.
Take it.
Yeah, that's right. It's kind of cool out there, so enjoy it. Okay, we are live. 407-774-8255 is the number, as always. Our man Abe Katzman is going to be checking in from Jerusalem here shortly, and our man Nostradamus, our executive producer, is going to be checking in from headquarters shortly after that. But you can check in anytime you like at that phone number. And don't forget to check out our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, where you'll find our archive, and we're always adding new stuff to it. And yesterday, Mr. Nicholas Cicero, who produces our show Monday through Friday, put up our very first show. That's right, our very first show that we did on, let's see, that was September 5th.
Ooh, I don't know if I wouldn't listen to that.
September 5th, 2010. So you can see what we sounded like when we first set out as the American Adversaries.
We sound like teenagers.
Yeah, we've come a long way, baby. As has America, and maybe in the wrong direction. At least that's what most Americans think right now. That's right, over 70% of Americans think this country is on the wrong track.
But a lot of those people voted for Obama.
Yeah, well, they are regretting it. And
not enough of them.
Well, the numbers are adding up, and they're adding up, and they will continue to add up. And we'll talk about that a little bit with Nostradamus. But, you know, there's some elections going on today. We've been talking about these a little bit over the last couple of days. And New Jersey is electing a new governor today, or probably the same governor. And Virginia is probably going to elect the Democrat, Terry McAuliffe, today. That's my call anyway. anyway. I wish it weren't, but that's my call for various reasons.
The guy that actually was in on George Bush causing 9/11.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's one of the least of his problems. I mean, this guy is the green money that he has collected from this government over a fake corporation called Green Tech, I believe it was. It's just scandalous. But, you know.
Probably not as much as Al Gore.
That doesn't disqualify you as long as you're a Democrat. And, of course, today in New York City, it looks like they're going to elect this fellow de Blasio, who is an honest-to-God socialist. And what I mean by that, folks, is he went down and he hung out with the Sandinistas. Back when you know, all that was going on with Ortega and Reagan and this and that and the other thing, yeah, he hung out with the bad guys. That's right. He sympathized with them. Well, he's now going to be the mayor of the greatest city in the world. So
maybe he can marry Jane Fonda.
Yeah,
two peas in a pod.
Well,
huh?
All I can say is that 70% of the people who think this country is on the wrong track are absolutely right. But there's some other interesting votes going on today. For instance, in Colorado, there's a big fracking vote going on.
You said it.
That's right. Yes. A big fracking vote.
On what fracking.
What I mean by that, literally, that's right. There are, I think it's four or six counties are voting on prohibiting fracking, the technique of drilling and fracturing rock. That's why they call it fracking, by the use of high-pressure water. They are attempting to ban it in their counties. They think that it's bad. They think that there's hazards involved with it. Of course, there's hazards involved with just walking out of your house. But this is a very safe, proven technique of drilling, contrary to what many people think. They think it's a new drilling technique. But in fact, fracking technology has been around for 70 or 80 years.
Yep.
It just hasn't been used as extensively and as widespread as is being used now. But this is the liberal mindset, though, because in actuality, the United States is actually now of the carbon into the atmosphere that all the global warming people, you know, are fretting all over. We're now emitting less than we were 10 years ago.
Well, Chris, personally, I see a positive in this.
How's that?
I see a positive in these states that pass such stupid laws. They will get nothing out of these. And you got to admit, states like this that would pass this, they hate any kind of way you get any product out of the ground, any usage of what's
and
in the environment.
That's the bottom line, and that's where I was going with this.
And they're not going to make a dime and let other states that do have this.
This is the absurdity of what they're trying to do. They're trying to prevent a technology that is actually accomplishing the goal that they say they want to accomplish. In other words, have less carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Well, fracking is providing us with cleaner fuels. We are accomplishing that goal. But because it's not being accomplished the way they want it to be accomplished, it's no good. The results are being nullified. Even though they're the results they say they seek, they're the results they say they want, these results are being nullified because they're not being done by solar power or by wind power. They're being done thanks to natural gas for the most part.
Well, and they're also totally getting around any scientific truth here. This is all based on rumor, just the same way as global warming. And they're using that. They're getting everybody riled up over this, and they don't know this.
Well, all it does is prove that they are actually not after what they say they're after, just like Obamacare. We were sold Obamacare, you know, that this was going to, you know, help a lot of people get health care that couldn't get it otherwise. This was going to insure the uninsured and all these great promises. It was going to make your premiums go down. All these great promises. In fact, that's not what they had in mind at all. If they did, heaven help us, because they got exactly the opposite. And no, what they had in mind was something far more, what I like to say, sinister. And that is to get everybody on the government dole, basically.
Socialized medicine.
They just can't come out and say it because they know the American public still would not support it. So
they lie?
Exactly. But in the case of Colorado, where they're trying to prevent this fracking technology, it's like I say, it's ridiculous because it's counterproductive if they really say they want to lower carbon in the atmosphere, because it is doing exactly that. But not only is it doing that, but it's also keeping people's power bills down. the price of natural gas in the United States right now is about $3.40 a BCF, a billion cubic feet. In the rest of the world, you can't find it for less than $8 or $9. I mean, it is ridiculous that these people would be against the best thing that the American economy has had going for it for the last 5 or 7 years.
Well, you have to ask yourself is, how did that oil thing work for the Alaskans?
it kind of
worked darned well. People did extremely well.
Not only that, but it worked well for the animals in the environment as well. Like I say, they don't like it, not because it doesn't produce the results that they want, because it does. They don't like it because they didn't produce the results they wanted the way they wanted it to be produced. And that's why it's ridiculous. But we'll keep an eye on that vote that's going on in Colorado. And hopefully the wiser people will prevail. But who knows? There's a lot of Californians living in Colorado now, and they just may take that California fever right to Colorado polls with them.
And I used to live there, and that's just what happened.
Yeah, but it's ridiculous because the energy boom in this country is really the only thing that's producing any growth in this economy. Okay, I see we have Abe Katzman on the line from Jerusalem. I don't want to keep him waiting any longer, so we're going to go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we will be talking with Abe Katzman. And by the way, you can find his work at abekatzman.com. And don't go away, 407-774-8255 is the number if you want to join the fray.
This is Sunny, the California girl, and I've been around a lot of big, hunky, sexy, tough men. I like men like that, but only when they're brainy, like the American adversaries on News Talk 660 WORL. These guys are sexy and smart.
Smart enough to get her to say that.
There you go. All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. You are listening to the American Adversaries. We are live on this cloudy afternoon here in Central Florida, 407-774-8255. This portion of our show is being brought to you by Lake Mary Jewelers. That's our great friend Pasquale Barba. He's over there with Carl Scarlotta, who's been in this area doing jewelry, had a jewelry store for a long time. He's now opened up a store with Pasquale in Lake Mary. It's right there. As soon as you get off I-4, as you're heading east, you turn right on Lake Mary Boulevard, and your first right is Lake Emma, and it's right there on your left. Their phone number is 407-878-6230, and they can do anything that you want done with your jewelry. They'll buy it from you. They'll sell you jewelry. They'll clean your jewelry. They'll repair your jewelry. They'll make you a piece of jewelry.
Help you sell your jewelry.
Help you sell it to someone else. 407-878-6230. This is the gift-giving season for that special gift, for that special someone. Go to Lake Mary Jewelers. Okay, let's go now to our man tonight, sir.
I'm doing all right. It's an honor to speak with two smart and sexy guys.
Well, you have to include yourself in that now because, you know, you're a big hunk of a sexy man yourself there, sir.
I won't argue.
Thank you.
All right. Well, speaking of arguing, last time we spoke, that was the evening, I believe, that the prisoners were being released by Israel. And much to everybody's chagrin, I suppose, the celebration did make it into the news media. I saw where the Palestinians were celebrating these guys returning home. What was the reaction in Israel?
I think it's kind of a reaction of resignation. We've seen this happen before. Unfortunately, we don't expect things to be any better. It's really, you know, it's a little strange when you think about it that these are, you know, that these are ostensibly people that we're in the midst of peace negotiations with, and yet they're celebrating the release of people who were convicted of terror, of basically convicted of killing Jewish Israeli civilians.
It actually goes right to the heart of your most recent article about Abbas being the first obstacle to peace, that they, in their hearts, they have no intention, no desire whatsoever to make peace with Israel. And things like this seem to reveal that.
Yeah, it's, I don't want to ruin the suspense, but I've got an upcoming article, actually, that discusses this. The amount of incitement from the Palestinians and the amount of, and I would put this in that category, you know, it's not just that you have Abbas celebrating with these guys, that there's no such thing as a counter demonstration. There's nobody in the Palestinian press saying, guys, wait a minute, we're supposed to be trying to make peace. Maybe this is not the right tone to strike.
Right.
You find the same thing in there in general. There is all this incitement through official channels, just viciously anti-Semitic material in their newspapers and on television, and they've got a monopoly on the opinion. So you don't have the equivalent, in the Israeli press, you've got opinions all across the spectrum.
Right.
You don't have that in the Palestinian press. It's one note and one note only that you hear struck over and over and over.
Well, it's the old conundrum, Abe, that you've got people negotiating for peace and they don't want peace.
They're negotiating for something. I'm not sure peace is what it is that they're hoping to get.
And they're calling it that.
Yeah, they're calling it that. That, you know, who's against peace? Of course he'll negotiate for peace.
That sells well.
Yeah, but there's a question of what that peace means. Are they really willing to accept? When it comes down to it, the question is, are they willing to accept peaceful coexistence with a Jewish state? And that's always been the big problem, the big stumbling block, is that the Palestinians and so far it's been almost the entire Arab world that has answered that question with a no. They are not willing to accept a Jewish Israel. They're willing to accept an entity called Israel and then claim that millions of descendants of Palestinian refugees have a right to settle in it, and that would pretty much destroy Israel from a demographic standpoint. But they're not willing to accept a Jewish state of Israel, two states for two peoples. There'd be some Palestinian entity, and there would be a Jewish state of Israel. And they just so far won't make that concession.
No.
Nobody has, and Abbas is specifically saying that he will not. So we'll see what happens.
And, you know, no real pressure is brought to bear upon them to make that real step forward. You know, what sort of troubles me, not sort of, what really troubles me is that when I did see the press reports here about the celebrations over the release of these terrorists, there wasn't even the condemnation in the Western press for the celebrations of the release of these terrorists.
Man, nobody covered it.
No. They showed it, but they didn't, you know, there was not that negative reporting that went along with it. It was like, oh, this happened. Now let's get on to the next story. There's really, other than sources like yourself, Abe, and shows like ours, there is no condemnation of things that should be soundly and roundly condemned.
No, it's the problem is that the standard is set very low. The bar is set very low, and if this is what's expected, and what's expected happens, then it's not really news.
No, and that's
so,
I want to interrupt because you just said the bar is set very low, and that's part of the problem, is that the bar is set so low. It's like Lair was saying, the peace, and like you were saying, peace isn't even part of the prospect here. If it were, the bar would be set much higher, that there would have to be this recognition that like you pointed out in your article, how are you going to have a peaceful relationship with a society who is being taught at every turn that, you know, that you're the most evil thing in the world? It just, even if they got an agreement on a piece of paper, it wouldn't be worth the paper it was printed on.
Well, we're sons of apes and pigs, or monkey. That's what comes out in the papers. We're fork-tailed devils, I think I quoted.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the kind of stuff you see all the time. And you're right. I mean, they're just not preparing their people for any kind of peace, which leads you to believe that they're not really looking for it themselves.
And the same holds true, I believe, for the West. Either they're not really looking for peace, or they don't know what they're doing because they're not putting pressure on a boss, you know, to change his ways, to change his tune. They should be putting pressure on him. Europe's giving him all this money, and, you know, they should be saying, listen, if we're going to give you another penny, cut it out. You know, change your tune here, dude. So it doesn't seem like anybody really, other than perhaps the Israelis, want peace.
Well, and speaking of Europe, I wouldn't be surprised if there's people in Europe that don't mind a bit if this confrontation continues.
No, in fact, the Europeans, if anything, are pressuring Israel in this.
Yeah, they always do.
All kinds of threats of economic repercussions if Israel ends up walking away from these peace negotiations. And if these negotiations don't result in some kind of deal, there's a good chance that there will be some sort of sanctions, coming from the Europeans against Israel, not against the Palestinians.
It's just totally upside down, totally inside out. I mean, this is the bizarro world where everything is the opposite of what it should be in terms of what's going on in the Middle East. All we can do is keep hoping and praying that God turns it in his fashion, because certainly the human beings are totally way off the reservation, so to speak. Abe, we also saw in the media that, and they're attributing it to Israel, there was a strike against, I guess, some missiles that were being transferred from Russia to Syria. Is it that being openly reported in the Israeli press as an Israeli strike, or how's that being handled?
Well, first it was reported as a strike with no attribution for who actually pulled it off.
Right.
The understanding was this is probably an Israeli strike, but Israel wants to maintain plausible deniability, and they do not want to pressure the Syrians into having to respond. If nobody knows who did this, then who are the Syrians supposed to attack?
Right.
But if it turns out that Israel did this and that Israel has made these other attacks, then at some point Syria is going to have to respond. Now, I don't know why, and nobody knows exactly why, but the Obama administration, this has happened three times now.
That's why I brought it up.
There have been these anonymous,
you
know, these anonymous attacks against arms being transferred to Hezbollah. And the Obama administration comes out and says, yep, it was Israel. And there, this time especially, I'm not sure why this time more than others, but this time especially the Israeli government not pleased.
Okay.
All right, Abe. Okay,
hold it right there. We're going to pick this up when we come back from the break. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking with Abe Katzman. You can find his work at abekatzman.com, and you'll find of all of us right after this short news break.
You're listening to News Talk 660.
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Tonight's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by Roxy Pacifics. That's R-O-C-Z-E-Y Pacifics with an X.net. Roxy Pacifics is an all-natural kelp and vitamin-based antibacterial and anti-inflammatory. It is totally safe for kids, pets, and yourself. Do yourself a favor, RoxyPacifics.net. Now here's Christopher Hart with Ted Bogert of SoundbiteRx.com.
Ted, you know, yesterday morning I was watching the regular news shows and was watching Bob Schieffer's interview with Stein. Nothing surprising or shocking there. But then Bob Schieffer gave an editorial that just about floored me. Tell our audience what I mean.
Well, Bob Schieffer actually, Chris, is SoundbiteRx's favorite liberal because, honestly, he tells it like it is. And he has been with CBS News for 1,000 years or more, and everything that he says is all of the things that we are feeling as the American people. He actually compared what's going on with Obama healthcare to the movie Dumb and Dumber. It's that disastrous. So what he's done is he's taken a look at Obamacare and the rollout, and he is just as amazed as all of us are. And he's the one that's actually willing to go out on a limb and talk about it in the liberal media.
As a matter of fact, he even said that this would not have happened if this were Google, Yahoo, or a private industry. That shocked me.
Well, I mean, how could it? What he's saying is there's no way that Amazon or Google would risk launching their programs before they were properly tested. I mean, they've testified, it's been all over the news, including the liberal media, that only six people registered the first day. So it's not like the far right or the right or even anybody to the right of the middle is making this stuff up. There were only six people because people can't maneuver through the system. Everything is in shutdown mode with healthcare.gov, and everything's in shutdown mode as far as Obamacare is concerned.
And this can't be good news for President Obama when, you know, his faithful lackeys in the media begin to turn their backs on him.
And one by one, that's exactly what they're doing, because you don't want to go down with a sinking ship. It's kind of the feeling out there. And that's really what most of his liberal buddies and liberal supporters are starting to realize. Look, we're coming up on elections. We're coming up on... Everybody's getting into full gear as far as the elections are concerned, and you can't affiliate yourself with someone who has created a program that is failing from day one.
Yep. Some might even say it's kind of like rats fleeing a sinking ship. Well, folks, you can find the full editorial at soundbiterx.com, so please don't forget to take the cure for ignorance at soundbiterx.com. Thanks, Ted. We'll be right back. All right. That's right, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries. It is drive time. We are live. 407-774-8255 is the number. And just a heads up, if you're anywhere near Apopka next Thursday evening, you might want to go to the Apopka. What's it called again, Nick? The Apopka...
Taste of Apopka.
There it is. The Taste of Apopka. It'll be up here on 436 in the CenturyLink complex right here. It's just west of Hunt Club Boulevard. Just west, as a matter of fact, of Cafe Positano.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, boy, we got a sampling of some of the stuff today, and whew, delicious. So if you're anywhere near Apopka next Thursday. Okay. All right. Let's get back to our man in Jerusalem, Abe Katzman, right now. Abe, we were talking right before the break, you know, how this administration with either callous, uncaring, or just amateurishness continues to put Israel in a predicament, because Israel is actually doing what everybody probably wants them to do, which is keeping the nastiest of weapons out of the nastiest of hands. But the administration just can't seem to, this administration, which can't give us a straight answer on Benghazi, can tell us all about Israeli military operations.
Well, that's a good way to put it. I don't know why they're making the types of disclosures that they are. Somebody, and I don't know whether, originally the first couple of these came from, the leaks came from the Pentagon. This one, they said, came from the White House.
Right.
So somebody either can't keep their mouth shut, or somebody wants to punish Israel for doing this.
I mean, what do they have to gain by doing it, other than put Israel in a predicament?
I don't know, other than if somehow, I'm not sure how, it always pays to say, what does this have to do with Iran? What does this have to do with what America wants or doesn't want Israel to do with Iran?
Right.
I'm not sure exactly what the connection is, but that's usually a good place to look to try to figure out exactly what anybody is thinking. And the American thinking, the White House thinking when it comes to Iran, even that seems to be softening. So maybe there's some connection there.
Well,
John Kerry, in fact, gave a speech last week where he said that the diplomacy now is he wants to put to test whether or not Iran really desires to pursue only a peaceful nuclear program.
Oh, boy.
Like, if you don't know by now, why are they enriching uranium? Why are they building a heavy water reactor? Why are they building intercontinental ballistic missiles? You know, this is not what you do with a peaceful nuclear program.
No.
Shimon Peres, the president of Israel, once said that when Iran said that they only wanted this for medical technology, he said, I understand that the Iranians want medical isotopes, but do they need ballistic missiles to deliver them?
Right. That's right. Yeah, it's this administration just seems to think that playing stupid, playing dumb is somehow smart. But playing dumb is actually very dumb in this world. Bringing up Iran, you speak of the administration and their position. It seems like we're hearing all kinds of positions actually coming out of Iran itself. One day I read or hear in the media that the Ayatollah Khomeini is told, you know, the mullahs or whatever, no more death to America chants. The next thing I hear, the hardliners are, you know, saying the diplomacy with America is not a great idea. Is there any real idea as to what's going on in Iran in terms of, obviously, I'm very skeptical that they actually even want peace, but is there, even those in Iran who even don't want even the idea of even a hollow peace agreement with the Americans?
Well, the people who run Iran and the people who live in Iran are not necessarily the same people. The Iranian population is pro-Western, but the people who run it, I think what you're seeing is a power struggle between whether it's Khomeini or, I mean, you got to keep the name straight, Rafsanjani. I'm just throwing names out there. I don't remember exactly who's on which side.
Right.
But yeah, on the one hand, they were talking about quieting things down, and then yesterday was Death to America Day because it was the anniversary of the taking of the hostages in the American embassy.
That's right.
But you were talking earlier about how Europe looks at you, and they just basically they'd like to set up sanctions. A while back, I'd read that Israel has discovered some real nice oil and gas reserves. How is your production going?
The gas is flowing. They actually started the gas flowing. I mean, it'll get ramped up significantly, but that might that kind of gas supply. And a reliable gas supply might get the Europeans to sit back a little bit and take it easy in terms of
something they want.
Sanctions against Israel. Something they want.
Yeah.
That's all.
Abe, one last question or point I'd like to discuss with you. I was in the market the other day, and I picked up an local Israeli Jewish newspaper, and it talked about a group, I believe it was called, correct me if I'm wrong, Israel Aid or Israel Aid, and I was astonished. I guess I shouldn't have been surprised, but I guess in a way I was because our media is so very lax at reporting things like this. Evidently, Israeli aid groups are helping the Syrian refugees in Jordan. Is much known about that in Israel?
It's been done so quietly that it's only recently been heavily publicized. It's one of the things that happened, and this was on the front page of the paper yesterday, a Syrian woman who was delivering a baby was stuck in an area of Syria near the Israeli border where there were no facilities for her. She came to the Israelis for help. The Israelis brought her to a hospital, delivered the baby, fed her very well. And, you know, it's stories like those that you think maybe will get enough people going back to be ambassadors to say that, you know what, they're not fork-tailed devil sons of apes and pigs. They're humane. They helped us when we needed. I don't know what's going to end up happening, but, yeah, there's a serious effort to very low-key but to help out Syrians in Jordan. I've seen some television footage of it, of when the Syrians discover that it's Israelis who are helping them. And there seems to be some division of opinion. Some people just say, thank God, this is deliverance from wherever it comes from. And if these are Israelis, God bless them.
Yeah.
And then other people who walk away and who are terribly offended that it's been Israelis that have come to their rescue.
Wow. I just thought it was a fabulous story, and we'll do what we can to get stories like that out, because that is the root of changing people's hearts and changing people's minds, and not what the stuff that Abbas is spewing. This is the real story that needs to be gotten out there, and I just thought it was a fantastic thing. But in a way, I guess I'm kind of ashamed that I was surprised when I saw the article. But
it's a great story.
It absolutely is.
And it's the kind of thing that can really bring peace, more likely to bring peace than anything John Kerry is bringing to the region.
Amen to that, sir. You're absolutely right about that, Abe. Well, thanks so much, Abe Katzman. We appreciate you being with us tonight. As always, it's been a great time talking with you, and I feel like I'm a lot smarter afterwards. So, God bless you.
And sexier.
Well, we're always sexier after talking to you, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, that's our sexy man, Abe Katzman in Jerusalem. Thanks a lot, Abe. We appreciate you so very much.
He sets a high bar, folks.
Good night. He absolutely does. And once again, you can find his work at abekatzman.com. That's abekatzman.com. And by the way, is Abe still there? Okay, all right, we lost Abe, but I'll tell him next time. I spoke with the guys at Soundbite. You know, you folks know we play the Soundbite RX News Minute at our half-hour break every night, and they're going to start featuring his articles on SoundbiteRx.com.
Oh, cool.
So anytime he puts up an article, they're going to feature it at SoundbiteRx.com. So you'll have a couple places to go to find it out. Okay, all right, that was a great interview with Abe Katzman, and I always do. I'm sincere about that because he has so much knowledge and insight in what's going on in that area, and our politics as well.
And again, United States media basically has forgotten about the Middle East lately. I mean, they touch on a little bit, but it's, let's face it, they're all after Obamacare.
Yeah, well, they can't chew gum and talk at the same time, or whatever that saying is. But somebody who can is our executive producer, Nostra Dennis. Nostra Dennis, how are ye tonight?
Hold on, I'm chewing gum. Hang on.
Don't fall down.
Yeah.
Don't fall down.
I am excited by what you guys are talking about the first half of the show about this taste of Apopka, because I have always wondered what Apopka tastes like.
Good old Southern cooking, that's what. No, they had some samples here at the station today, in particular the cupcakes. Woo-wee, out of sight.
And you saved some for me, right?
Yeah, there are some downstairs if you want to swing by.
That's not what I heard.
They may be gone by now, but they're certainly delicious, and there's going to be a lot of good food out there. And that's a week from Thursday. So next Thursday, if you're in the Apopka area or just want to make a trip of it up here to Apopka area. Listen, Dennis, we got one more break to go. When we come back, I understand you've got some big Obamacare numbers for us.
Big, robust numbers. It's going to be interesting to take a look through these.
Well, I want to hear what in the world you're talking about. Okay, folks, I'm sure you're going to want to hear what in the world Nostra Dennis is talking about, too, so please stick around.
Of course, the American adversaries are almost always here, Sunday through Friday. Sunday night, of course, 3 hours. Either way, we'll be back.
It's me, C-C-C, Diamond Dallas Page. The king of automobiles, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. And you're listening to the American Adversary Drive Time. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Bad!
I'm not sure if you're saying bad, good, bad, whatever. Anyway, Larry Adams
That's
here.
It's a good thing. Bad.
Christopher Hart on the line is Nostra Dennis right now. And, folks, before we go to Nostra Dennis, I want to remind you that tomorrow night, we are going to have Senator Ron Johnson on with us. So I'm sure he has just a few things to say about this Obamacare wonderful time we're having. Nostra Dennis, you have some really big numbers for Obamacare. New numbers, is that correct?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You've been hearing all these stories about how six people sign up in this state and seven people sign up in that state.
I'm sitting down.
Check out these numbers. Maryland, 73,000.
Huh.
Kentucky, 280,000.
Hmm.
Louisiana, 80,000. Oh, wait a second. Oh, this
You're telling me this many people signed up in those states?
No, you know, this is how many people are losing their insurance thanks to Obamacare.
Whoops.
So they're going to have to sign up.
Right.
Whoops.
Now, here's a couple of things to look at. There's a website that's been out for only a couple of days called MyCancellation.com. Anecdotal.com.
Oh, great.
You should go and look at it. What it is, you know, everyone talks about anecdotal evidence. Well, here's anecdotal evidence from people who sign in and share their personal stories. There's pictures of them. Most of them are not smiling. And they've got a copy of their cancellation notice, or they've got a copy of the letter they got from their employer telling them how much their premiums are going up, how much their co-pays, how much their out-of-pocket is going up between now and next year. And it's frightening when you look at these stories.
It's frightening for the people who are caught up in these stories. This is not good. I mean, this is a disaster. I don't mean the rollout. I mean the law itself is just a totally disastrous law, and the consequences of it are not going to get any better. They're only going to get worse, and that means it's only going to get worse for this administration.
And it was built on a lie.
And they're only going to lie even more as going forward, because this is why you don't begin lying. Okay, because it's hard to get out of it once you've started down that road. And so now they can't get away from they've already lied, so now they have to kind of make up reasons why they did lie. And that only makes it even worse.
Did you hear what the president tried to say yesterday? He said,
yes.
What we said was you can keep it if it hasn't changed since the law passed.
Yeah. Well,
and all I heard was period.
Yeah, no, that's not what he said at all. So now he's lying about lying.
After they forced the insurance companies to change your insurance.
Exactly.
If they change it, you've got to drop it. And then they force the insurance company to change it.
Yeah, it's funny because Sebelius, in her testimony last week, was trying to use the excuse, well, the reason these people are losing their coverage is because the insurance companies made changes, and of course everybody knows that this is something that they do all the time. So you see what she revealed when she said that? She revealed that the administration, everybody knew that these changes, it's a normal process with these insurance policies. From one year to the next, your premium's going to go up. Or, God bless you, it may go down. Your coverage may change slightly in terms of the copay or whatever. They knew that this was the normal course of operation in that industry, and now they're trying to use that as blame for the insurance companies. If they knew it was the normal course, this only proves even more so that they were lying. You understand what I'm saying? They knew that this would happen. For whatever reason, they knew that this was going to happen.
Sure.
And they tried to tell people otherwise. It is a lie through and through. Now they're lying and coming up with bizarre reasoning to try to get out of it. It's only going to get worse for them. There's no question about that. And there's this, too. This is in today's Wall Street Journal, in the Marketplace page. That's the B section of the paper. Talking about, you know, medical devices. Here's the title of the article. Funding dries up for medical startups. Let me just read a couple of paragraphs. The medical device industry, struggling to adapt to a thriftier healthcare system, is getting squeezed by a venture capital drought. It goes on to say that the investment going to these startups has dropped by 28% over the last couple of years. And what that means is, and the reason for that is because the taxes and the new regulations, thanks to Obamacare, what that means is all these great innovations that we enjoy in terms of synthetic hips or you name it, whether it be a diagnostic or a treatment type thing, these things are not going to be there in the innovation and the numbers that they have been thanks to this disastrous law.
Well, here's another side of it too, Chris. My daughter, being, you know, she got a degree in biology, she wanted to get into the medical business, but there is no hiring in the medical business now because no one knows what's happening. Now, remember when it was a booming thing? How many schools that were putting out nurses, and we needed them. Nurses
still
and yes, we need them desperately. But right now, they can't find any work because nobody in the medical business is going to hire anybody until they figure out what the heck is going on.
And that's going to be quite a while. Nostradamus?
Yeah, and a lot of people who are thinking that they might want to be doctors realize, at least the smart ones realize, why should I go in and rack up six figures of debt to get out and not be able to get the job that I just trained for because the position isn't there? The smart people are not going into fields like medicine, and that's a shame.
You're absolutely right about that. The ramifications of this one law are so extensive. They're like tentacles, and they go off in all kinds of directions, and they're creating destruction in every direction. This is going to be a disaster, not only for Obama going forward, but for Democrats, and as we've been saying, for big government liberals. Because from now on, people who are against big government stuff are going to say, oh, yeah, remember Obamacare? Forget that. So once again, thank you, President Obama. You know, this is a painful gift. There's no question about that. But it is a gift because it is proving for any observer who is in any way objective to see that any time government tries to do something this big, it is just on the face of it incapable. Incapable.
And this is hitting America while it's already down financially.
That's right. That is the worst time to do something like this.
It's the worst time to do something like this, Chris. Shift over an entire nation that's a capitalist nation into socialism.
That's right. Which is why I think that there's some kind of divine purpose here that we are being shown. This is a great lesson for us if we're only willing to learn it. Nostradamus, you get the last word.
It's always darkest before the dawn. My friend Mark in New York, he's the only conservative left. He can't wait for de Blasio to win the mayor's race because he says in 4 years, that'll be ready for a republic.
There's a lot of logic to that. That's what the logic I was using on our very first show when I said I'd kiss President Obama, where he's standing in his studio right now, and it still holds true. Thanks a lot, Nostradamus. We appreciate you.
See ya.
Okay. Yeah. That's right. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Ron Johnson.
Absolutely, folks. I personally think New York gets what New York deserves. Whatever they vote in, folks, I couldn't care less. We're the American Adversaries, and we will be back tomorrow night. Have a great evening.
Such a beautiful skyline. Night, everybody.
Talk 660 WORL. Altamont Springs, Orlando. 660 WORL.com. Division of Salem Communications. On the NASDAQ as SA.